Come, Holy Spirit. Amen. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. These words from the Apostle Paul to the Thessalonians might be especially meaningful for us today on this third Sunday of Advent, also known in the calendar of the church as Gaudete Sunday. Gaudete is the Latin command, rejoice. So today our tradition temporarily sets aside the quieter, more somber themes of Advent to focus on the joy of waiting. Today we are encouraged to rejoice at the promise of Jesus' birth at Christmas and at the promise of his return. What does it mean to rejoice, especially in seasons of suffering and difficulty like the one we are in? When Paul wrote his first letter to the Thessalonians, he was exhorting and encouraging them to rejoice during a time of great grief for their community. The Thessalonians had sent word to Paul to say that some of their members had died recently. The community was grieving, and added to that grief was a deep theological concern and worry. The Thessalonians were worried that these loved ones who had died before Jesus returned would not be included in the great resurrection that would happen with Jesus' second coming. Scholars show that Paul wrote this letter around the year 50 AD, so about 20 years or so after Jesus had died. After Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection, the early Christians believed they knew that Jesus would return, and they believed that at Jesus' return, he would bring them with him into God's kingdom. They didn't know when this would happen, but they thought it would be very soon. Days, weeks, months, maybe a year or two. They were not thinking in terms of decades or centuries or millennia. When Jesus did not return right away, these early Christian communities had to adjust their expectations, had to enter a period of active waiting, of longer active waiting for Jesus' return. And we in the church today, we are still in that period of active waiting, too. And Advent is the season when this waiting comes to the center of our focus as a church. In his letter, Paul helps the Thessalonian community to adjust their expectations. And he gives the Thessalonians and us a framework for how to wait. Earlier in the letter, Paul pastorally reassures the Thessalonians that those who die while waiting for Jesus to return are and will be included in the resurrection. And then Paul goes on to provide this framework for waiting, and part of what Paul tells the Thessalonians and us to do while we wait is to rejoice. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Like the Thessalonians, we are grieving many losses, many deaths, deaths from injustice and violence, deaths from COVID-19, the loss of jobs, the loss of gathering together. What does it mean that God calls us as Christians to rejoice, even in the midst of such painful times as these? We could start with thinking about what the meaning of rejoice is. What is joy? How is it different from happiness? Because Paul doesn't tell the Thessalonians or us to be happy. Paul recognizes the grief of the community and urges them and us to rejoice always. Happiness is good. Joy is different. Philip Clayton, professor at Claremont School of Theology, names happiness as self-centered, as human-centered, and joy as God-centered. Clayton says joy is a state as positive, as attractive, as all-consuming as happiness, but it is happiness transformed so that an action of God, the presence of God, the grace of God is felt by the individual. Joy is a person opening herself to the presence of God and the person sending back to God in praise and worship, gratitude and awareness of that relationship. This constitutes the life of joy. As a present-day illustration of joy, of what a spontaneous response to God's presence might look like or feel like today, I propose the example of a flash mob. Yes, a flash mob. A group of people deciding that at a certain time, they're going to meet in a public place and do something together. Some highly planned out and coordinated action that appears to be spontaneous and will catch everybody else's attention and draw a crowd. Sometimes flash mobs are used for protest, but often they are used simply to bring joy to people through dance or song or some other kind of performance. I highly recommend a video of a flash mob from 2012, which has been making the rounds again on social media this last week or so. Alex sent it to me. It's always helpful when your spouse unknowingly sends you good sermon material. The video itself was turned into an advertisement for a bank, but I promise that this does not lessen the effect of the flash mob, or at least it didn't for me. And we're going to try to post this video on Facebook later today, so keep an eye out for it. The flash mob takes place in a plaza in Sabadell, a city in the Catalonian province of Spain. And it starts with one tuxedoed gent playing a cello. And he's playing the final movement of Beethoven's Ninth Symphony, which is commonly known as the Ode to Joy. Soon he is joined by other musicians, and then more join, and then more. And then suddenly there's a conductor, and then there are singers. And as the music of the Ode to Joy grows and builds, so does the crowd. And the crowd's reactions, they're almost as good as the music itself. And soon I can feel that feeling welling up, yes, accompanied by tears. It's joy. Maybe this video of an orchestra and chorus flash mob from 8 years ago is popular again right now because we know we need joy, even and especially in difficult times of sorrow. In our tradition as Christians, we see that joy is possible, maybe even tied to times of grief and loss. And we see this relationship between grief and joy most clearly in the intersection of the deep pain of the cross with the overpowering love of the resurrection. It is our calling as Christians to bear witness to both the cross and the resurrection, to death and to new life. In this time of illness, death, injustice, and loss, when we stand at the foot of the cross daily, Paul's words call us to be witnesses there and also to be witnesses at the empty tomb, to rejoice at Christ's resurrection, and very soon now, to be witnesses at the manger, to rejoice at his birth to rejoice with Mary and Joseph, with the shepherds and angels, with a God-centered Christmas flash mob ode to joy that bubbles up and is present in our hurting world. This deep joy that is at the center of God's kingdom to come. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Amen.